boy. I tell you, just because you're in a main event doesn't make you a main eventer. My God, that was really hard to digest. Oh, man. I don't even know if we should even talk about this pay-per-view, but obviously you're clicking on this. That means you want to hear our thoughts. It is Sunday night, March 8th, 2020. This is your WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony, and join along with me tonight is...
Kev Castle. What's up, DT?
You know, I promised myself that 2020, I would make it the most positive year, no matter what. And I understand wrestlers work their ass off, you know, and sometimes you can't fault the wrestlers for something not coming together. But I got to tell you, man, you know, especially since I pay for the network, especially since we take time out of our schedule to talk about this, I think we have a right to be honest and to tell it like it is, even though it may piss some people off. Honestly, I think this was the worst WWE pay-per-view that I have seen in over 10 years, and I'll tell you why. Okay. Some of the matches were not bad, but you just look at the logic. We all knew Shayna Baszler was going to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. And last year with Kofi, you know, they did the scenic route, and it worked. Because at some points, fans thought that New Day may actually leave WWE, and maybe people of like them, as New Day said themselves in those videos, maybe people like them are not meant to get those title shots. And people actually started buying that, even though we knew that the road to WrestleMania for Kofi was never taking a different direction. This is different, though. Shayna Baszler, as good as she has become in NXT, she is not Kofi Kingston. And I don't know if they were trying to recreate the Goldberg effect. Oh, we'll have the entire WWE universe so angry at WWE for taking the belt off the Fiend that they'll boo Goldberg. They'll take it out on Goldberg. So, and then that'll probably get Roman Reigns cheered a little bit more. So, hey, WWE universe is going to be so angry with this main event tonight that there's no way they're going to praise Shayna Baszler. There's no way they're going to cheer Shayna Baszler. So when Becky starts having the confrontations, it basically gets Becky even more over. This did not work tonight. Nothing against Sarah Logan. Nothing against Natty. She's a veteran. Asuka, I put aside because Asuka has proven herself. But, you know, and nothing against Liv, nothing against any of the women in that. But I don't think they were in the main event today because it's International Women's Day. Tell me what match you would have closed out Elimination Chamber tonight other than the women.
I'm like you, DT. I think it was one of the worst pay-per-views I've seen in 10 years, and we've been pretty positive and brought out most of the positive things in the last bunch of pay-per-views we reviewed. This is rough. I'll be honest with you. It was rough, and the crowd takes you out of it, too. Once the crowd is indifferent, DT, from start to finish for the most of the night, it takes you out of it. I was finding myself being distracted by littlest things, a noise outside. I swear to God, a TV, my cat. I'm usually glued to the pay-per-view like I was the last couple of ones, the NXT one. This, I was like kind of all over the road. I was fidgety because it was sucking so bad, and the crowd was taking me out of it. It really was. And there was, you're right, DT, you look at that on, what else could headline? Even though you got a couple of former world champions on the card, Seth Rollins has been reduced to CM Punk Lite with his stable of who gives a fuck guys. I don't know who else could have headlined this pay-per-view, to be honest with you. No, the answer is nobody.
Nobody.
I guess they had to go with this. But, boy, was I tell you, DT, I had a hard time concentrating on this pay-per-view. I really did.
That's why I laughed last week at all the articles saying that WWE is having second thoughts about Shayna Baszler. Vince McMahon is having buyer's remorse about Shayna Baszler. And I'm like, no. These are websites that thought Baszler and Kairi Sane fell so flat that their interpretation is, we thought it was so bad that WWE had to feel the same way. And I'm like, no. And I've been saying this for a while now, and I do get ripped on YouTube, especially now, because I said, you know, you can't blame a lot of the Becky Lynch stuff on Becky Lynch, because this is WWE having her go in this direction. They're the ones that are giving her the Elton John get up and all this other stuff. I'm sure she has input to it, but trust me, if she thought of this look herself and some of these things, and WWE thought she looked ridiculously stupid, WWE is the boss. They'll turn around and say, nah, you know, we're going to do this instead of doing this. I mean, you see wrestlers when they leave WWE, you always hear them talk about, and Matt Hardy's the most recent one, talking about how WWE pitched this and nixed this and this. They're the ones in charge. They are the boss. And for everybody that thought that WWE was like scaling back a little bit about Becky Lynch, this pay-per-view tonight was designed for one reason and one reason only. This was done for Becky Lynch. This was done to get that. This Elimination Chamber tonight was done with the sole purpose of putting the exclamation point of Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch. And the reason why this was one of the worst pay-per-views of all time is not just the match quality and the lack of main event stars and the lack of main titles being defended. It's just the fact that you closed out this pay-per-view with at least two women, maybe three, that have no business main eventing right now. It's not a sexist thing. Not everybody should main event. You know, there's a reason when we use baseball analogies, there's a reason why you don't ever take someone from Double A and have them close out a Major League Baseball game unless they are talented enough to pick up that ball. I know everybody gets a shot and everybody gets an opportunity, but no. I mean, you don't have people close out a pay-per-view, especially, and this is the most important part, especially when people that are on life support, brain dead, unplug them, their history. People that are just way past hospice knew that it was going to be Becky versus Shayna Baszler. There was no anticipation. There was no suspension of belief. There was no excitement. You know, I know, you know, it kind of looks, you know, cool to see Shayna Baszler swing Liv Morgan into the cage, you know, but meanwhile, she's got her arms over her head. So it's a good visual, you know, but there was no swerves. We knew that this was the outcome. You had a Royal Rumble match where the winner gets a title shot at WrestleMania and Roman Reigns just come out and says, I'm next. He gets the title shot. Look at the women's side on SmackDown. You know, we don't have any conclusion as far as who's going to be taking on Bayley at WrestleMania. But this one, they give us a match. We already know who Becky Lynch's opponent's going to be. This was tough. And this is the God honest truth, everybody. This is the first time that I can remember that I took no notes. Zero. I started typing at the beginning. And after the Gulak-Daniel Bryan match, I was just like, why am I going to put in all this extra effort, all these notes and all this work? It just, this pay-per-view was uninteresting. This pay-per-view, I couldn't even call it a Raw. I mean, it's Undertaker came out. I saw the Undertaker yesterday at the big event. You know, he came out, you know, he showed up, did his thing, you know. Blah, we'll talk about that. But, man, this pay-per-view was really rough, man. And I don't, you know, for anyone out there that thinks that WWE is soured on Shayna Baszler or anything like that, no, this is WWE that thought that this was great on paper. And here's again, was this Paul Heyman's writing for the Elimination Chamber? Again, everybody online, I'm not going to get off the Paul Heyman bandwagon, but everybody online, you know, always seems to leave Paul Heyman out. I guarantee if Vince Russo was writing Raw right now, it would be trending, fire Russo. If Bischoff was writing Raw, it would be trending to blame this on Bischoff. But Paul Heyman gets a pass.
Yeah, I mean, again, you try to find something redeeming, and we'll do the breakdown and stuff. And you're probably not the only one, DT. I think a lot of podcasts didn't want to take notes tonight. I noticed a lot of people writing stuff like that. It's hard to follow this. I mean, because it does take you right out of it. You kind of had a sense that it wasn't going to get any better either from the Gulak match on. And it didn't, quite honestly. There was a couple of surprises. Sami Zayn winning the title. Nobody called that. I didn't see that coming. I don't know if you did either. A couple of surprises. Yeah, Taker came out and stuff. But other than that, there was nothing here. And you're right. This was for Becky Lynch, meaning that they wanted some kind of big fight feel, that Shayna's this dominant big threat, the biggest threat to Becky Lynch's title reign since she won it at Mania. This is the girl who's going to take it or give her. This is a Clubber Lang Mr. T moment to Rocky, right, DT? This is the girl. But it didn't have that feel, and the crowd is indifferent to Shayna Baszler. You're right. She's a big deal in NXT, not a big deal in the bigs. That's the problem. She's not seasoned enough. People aren't buying it. People are not leaving tonight saying, wow, that's Shayna Baszler. They're like, God, that fucking match. And you're right, the throwing Liv Morgan into there was a nice visual. But when you saw it on the recap, Liv had her hands over her head where it hit her elbows. So it looked good, but you watch it again, it's not as shocking. And you had a bunch of, let's be honest, DT, and you're being kind. Ruby, Sarah, all the girls in there, Natty, come on. It's like the no-reaction crew, DT. When you come out there, they're bathroom break girls. It's not that they're not talented. They're just not getting over. It's not happening. Natty is just waiting, I think, to be an agent at this point. Ruby, Sarah, and Liv, just the crowd doesn't care about the Riot Squad.
See, this is the thing. I understand WWE wants to be as much of a melting pot as possible. Women and men, as much equal opportunity as possible.
Different ethnicities.
But,
right,
but yeah, you can't, this felt tonight, not that, and again, this is kind of like hard for me to say because I try to be as positive as I can be. But you cannot put people in a main event simply because you want to give them their opportunity to shine. You just because you're in the main event does not make you a main eventer. I'm sorry, Liv Morgan. You know, you think of the storyline with Lana, and you think of how that fell flat, and then you know Ruby Riott. You know, she just came back. The fans are not that invested yet. And by the way, on the pre-show, they had her out, and and she's talking about, you know, why she's going to dominate this and that. And the thing that was ridiculous about it, and I invite anybody to go back and see it, I guess we could start talking about the pay-per-view in order a little bit, is they asked her about, you know, her being in this main event. And she's answering like Peter Rosenberg, who's back, which is cool, Charlie Caruso, Booker T, whoever's there.
David Otunga.
And she's like not looking at them. If you look at it, she's not even like answering a question. She's like Mean Gene Oakland. Like she answers a question,
cutting a promo.
And she's like, if people looking at me right now, I'm looking straight at you, and you're asking me. I'm Ruby Riott right now. I don't have green hair or anything like that. By the way, they're not even worthy for me to wear a hat today or a nice wrestling shirt or anything like that. I wasn't even going to wear 70 stuff to be funny. But the thing is if all of you out there are David Otunga or Charlie Caruso, and you're asking me, and I'm Ruby Riott right now, and you say to me, oh, why do you think, you know, you should be in the main event tonight, or why do you think you're going to win? I look right at you and I answer the question. Ruby Riott's doing like, and it doesn't matter if it's Liv Morgan or if it's Natty or this and that, and she's looking on the floor and she's looking on the ceiling and she pauses. I don't care. I'm going to do this. And just as bad. And I know she's attractive and everything, but go back and watch the interview with Zelina Vega and Andrade before the pay-per-view started. Whoever that blonde chick is that interviews now, she starts...
Schreiber?
Yeah, whatever her name is. Maria Schreiber. Whatever. But
not Maria Schreiber.
She asks, she hasn't even asked a question yet. I invite people, please, go back and look at it. She says, Andrade, Zelina, on Monday with Raw, Rey Mysterio, and before she could say anything, And again, I know Zelina Vega is talented. I know she is attractive. I know she is a very nice person. She comes off very, very nice and genuine online. But go back and watch it. She interrupts Blonde Shriver, and she's like, you know, I don't, she's saying something like, I don't know what kind of question that is, and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, she didn't even fucking ask the question yet. She like interrupted her too early. This chick didn't even ask the question yet for Zelina Vega to get married, get mad. I almost said get married. She's like, you know, on Monday's Raw, Rey Mysterio, and what kind of question it is. And I'm like, she didn't even fucking ask you the question yet, you dummy. Seriously, go back and watch it. It was so god awful. Please go back and watch it. I'll never do a show again if I'm exaggerating at all. The woman didn't even ask a question. She's like, well, your question is this. I'm like, she didn't even ask it yet. It was bad, man. Bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Interview things they did early?
I did. I saw the Ruby Riott one, and I love Ruby Riott, but it was, you're right, she cut a promo. I don't know, Ruby's a consummate professional. I don't know why she's acting like deer in the headlights since she came back. Maybe she's getting the ring rust and the promo rust off or something. She's better than that. And Zelina's been up here for a while now. She's another one who should just be better on her game. She is the talking point for Andrade. She's got to, you know, come across better that way. DT, it was just all over the road. I'm again, as we go down and we pinpoint things, we'll start in chronological order like we usually do, but we'll try to find some sort of redeeming quality in this pay-per-view.
The only thing good about the pre-show tonight was that we had Morrison actually say the word shit by mistake. You know, it leaked out with, you know, him and Miz were cutting a promo, and he said shit very, very lightly, subtly, but right away everybody online, oh my God, he said shit. That was the only thing that I liked with the pre-show today. But man, I'm looking at some recaps right now to see if anybody caught on with this thing with Andrade and Zelina Vega. It was so bad. I'm like, okay, this is kind of setting the tone as far as what we're getting tonight. And then the pre-show, out of everybody, again, it's just felt like giving some people an opportunity who haven't really gotten much of an opportunity. You had Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins against the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, the match was okay, but it's like, that's what you put on the pre-show. This is why I've been saying for this year, and I'll keep saying it. People keep asking me over and over again, what's the first thing you would do to try to improve WWE? My answer is stop the roster split. You could keep separate titles on separate brands, but if just everybody, as you go online, seriously, go on the Twitter account for WWE on Fox.
Yeah.
And just think of the whole storyline. Fox versus USA Network. The war rooms. Yeah. Look at WWE on Fox's Twitter account. They actually were putting photos of all the Raw matches that went down tonight at Elimination Chamber. They couldn't even put up a graphic for early on for their own SmackDown match. They plug everything Raw. And it's like, I understand why WWE does it. I mean, you know, I'm not. But the thing is, if you're going to have the suspension of disbelief of two separate brands, Survivor Series, the War Room, and this and that, and WWE on Fox's Twitter account puts over Raw more than WWE does, it's just this roster split is a disaster. The women's main event tonight is a perfect example of that. You could have threw Naomi in there. You could have threw three women from Raw, three women on SmackDown. If I remember correctly, isn't that how they got Charlotte in the main event last year? Wasn't there where they put like women from both brands or something? Or maybe that was just my thinking of what it should have been. The rosters are too thin with main eventers. And I'm sorry. I know we're going to the end again, but you know, Ruby Riott, not yet. Sarah Logan, no fucking way. Liv Morgan, not right now. You know, Natty, maybe 3 years ago. You know, the rosters are too thin. You look at the pre-show tonight. I don't know who else you could have put on the pre-show tonight. It's just, it's god awful. It's god awful. And again, you know, you're not going to see the stock market tank because of a bad elimination chamber. But you see shit over and over again. And when you see a lot of people no longer going to WWE house shows, you see, remember last year, all those SmackDown events that kept canceling. You know, it's this was not good.
No, again, you know, like me, we go into the pay-per-views, an open mind every now and then. You get a nice surprise, you get a couple of matches. But again, and I knew as this was closing out the pay-per-view tonight, minutes to go before it was ending, I'm like, wow, we're really, I don't even know. And you try to pull out the positives out of anything, out of anybody who does this podcasting gig, you do. So I'll give you that credit. But I was like, I don't know what's, it's impossible. But then I saw what you wrote to that guy saying about the review was over before it started.
Yeah,
On Twitter, and I was like, well, DT is not liking this either. So it looks like we're going to be in a theme tonight. But again, you can't deny what your eyes are seeing. Like you said, there's opinions vary. Everyone's got different opinions. Tonight, I would be shocked if anybody said this was a good pay-per-view. It wasn't even a decent pay-per-view.
Well, the opening match, Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak,
that was an okay match.
I enjoyed it tremendously. I actually would not mind. I know a lot of people out there like, hey, maybe Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan could team up. I could tell you this much. The end of this match tonight, it was the same feeling that I had when Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black had that first match on pay-per-view. It was so incredible. It's like, I honestly thought Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy would be an awesome tag team, especially because of the WWE tag team division on Raw being a little bit lackluster. And, you know, nothing against Street Profits or some other teams, but, you know, I thought they would be great. And then, if you remember, Buddy Murphy couldn't buy a win over Aleister Black. And then next thing you know, he's a tag team champion. It felt like, okay, we're going to reward Buddy Murphy for all those losses, but having awesome matches with Aleister Black. So Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan today left me with that same feeling. It's like, okay, I wouldn't mind them being a tag team, but I need something different. I need Gulak to actually get a win or two. Not the Buddy Murphy thing all over again where Buddy Murphy loses. Or maybe you have Daniel Bryan be the leader of the stable and Buddy Murphy puts Buddy Murphy under his wing. Maybe one or two other people under his wing. It's kind of hard to do that again with such a thin fucking roster. Because if Daniel Bryan puts Gulak and one or two other people under his wing, Tony Nese or something else, who would they get a feud against?
Yeah, true.
You know? So, again, this roster split, it's got to come to an end. Seriously, WrestleMania can't come quick enough because I'm hoping within a month after WrestleMania, Vince McMahon comes out. We're going to shake it up! You know, no fucking war room thing. You just do something stupid. What's that theme on Fox? And you find out that Fox and USA are merging SmackDown and Raw, and we'll have individual titles, you know, to be competitive, but, you know, we'll exchange competition. But Daniel Bryan, I tell you, man, there was one point during the match, I know a lot of people out there were holding their breath. Gulak hit him with a German suplex, and Daniel Bryan landed right on his noggin. Now, he obviously was okay from it because the telltale sign is when there's 9 replays. Because when something goes awry, you know, usually they no-sell, especially in the case of Daniel Bryan, because of his history and having to retire for a little while. If he was seriously or had some type of injury from that, they're not going to show the replay multiple times. But no. I'll tell you, man, I don't even, you know, I know a lot of people out there are very tough on Meltzer and Brian Alvarez and others, but I agreed with Brian Alvarez tonight. There's no reason for him to even be put in a move like that. There are, I mean, Gulak is not Dean Malenko. He doesn't have 1,001 holds, but I'm sure that there's other moves that Gulak could have hit Bryan with other than a German suplex where he could have really landed on his head. That looks scary.
It did. And knowing Daniel Bryan, you know, he's a go-getter and wants to help and help elevate people. And I think, you know, even though he's not in the twilight of his career, he's at the tail end. He's up there. He's in his 40s now. But he's still got time to be champion again. He will be champion again one day. But he's always down, it seems, to put someone over. He's the guy to probably even push for Gulak. I'm just assuming. I don't have that as fact, but I'm assuming. Because he's very giving. And he probably wants to take some of the finishers and some of the moveset that some of these guys do that's probably not good for him, but he wants to help get him over. And that's Daniel Bryan. Hopefully he doesn't do it at the demise of his own self or his own career, because one false move, DT, and
that's
it for him.
Yeah. I mean, it looked really scary. I mean, obviously he wasn't supposed to have that much torque, you know, the way he landed, but still, I mean, you know, there was so many other moves you could do.
Not worth it. Yeah, not worth it.
It's not worth it. I mean, I know, look, we're not in the ring and the adrenaline. And when you're in that heated moment, you know, you feel like you could do anything. And, you know, it's also instinct from wrestling for so many years. But still, that looks scary. And, you know, thank God he seemed to be fine after. And Daniel Bryan ends up with the win. It was a phenomenal match. I mean, they really did a great job. I kind of wish it would have went a little bit longer. I mean, 14 minutes is a long time, but hey, you know, NXT, you know, you have 19-minute matches. And I'm not going to, you know, use the AEW example. AEW does that too. But, you know, you have 19, 20-minute matches for NXT. And I kind of wish that this match might have been a little bit later on in the card. I think especially the match that followed, Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo. And, again, an excellent match. But this is like the fifth title shot that Humberto has gotten in recent memory. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, does Andrade only wrestle Latin people? Well, look up his actual match results. He's wrestled quite a few other people within the last few months. Right now, it's a feud, La Familia, you know, the Rey Mysterio, then Angel Garza and Humberto, you know, it's all blended together. Plus, if they wrestle good, why complain? You know, but I will say this. This is like five title shots now for Humberto, and he's lost every single one of them. He's beaten Andrade twice in December, but one was a dark match, and one I don't even remember. I don't think he was champion, Andrade. Well, he couldn't have been champion, but thing is that something needs to shift now. Maybe Garza, you know, says, hey, let me challenge you.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, and maybe Zelina Vega is kind of like, no, not against the family. And this and that. Andrade being a man, you know, macho, I back down to no. Well, he don't speak English on TV. But I'd like to see Garza maybe challenge Andrade. But, you know, I think you got to move away from Humberto. And look, I've been a fan of Humberto. I defended him the first time he came out with the outfit that everybody made fun of him for. I think he's extremely talented. I will continue to say he's got those heel dimples. He is destined to be a good heel. I wouldn't even mind Garza and Humberto teaming up. Like, you know, Latin heartthrobs. But
it's not bad. Not bad.
They got to move on. Andrade retains. And I don't know where this leads into WrestleMania, but, you know, Carrillo's getting too many title shots. You know, win one, you know, even if it's by DQ, win one.
Well, and also, DT, it's time to put someone in the spotlight who you believe can take the title off of Andrade. You know, enough with this guy. He's not going to win the belt. He's not a threat. It's supposed to be a major title. This title has a lot of lineage. So put someone in there that's some sort of marquee player who's going to get a reaction, who's a threat to Andrade. This guy's not perceived as a threat. He's a rookie.
Well, that's why I did not like Saudi Arabia being so close to this pay-per-view. I mean, it was literally 10 days. And, you know, I'll bring up Bayley again with Naomi. You know, I know a lot of people out there thought, oh, Naomi, she's going to get this big push leaning into Mania, and she may end up being in a title match at Mania. Who knows? But Saudi Arabia just felt like, you know, this is kind of like the detour in the road. Like, you're on your way to a destination, and you realize, ah, shit, there's road work ahead, Saudi pay-per-view. So we got to, like, take this detour before we get back on course. And then you follow 10 days later with an Elimination Chamber. And tonight, it feels like the only thing that they did tonight was solidify Becky's opponent, which we already fucking knew. You know what I mean? That's why it was so awful. But again, Andrade and Humberto had a great match. I'm confused why you had Daniel Bryan and Gulak, who, you know, Ariel, great, you know, just chemistry. And then you had Andrade and Humberto following them. It's like, not saying that they're similar matches, but I think that should have been spread apart. I don't know why they placed it in that area, but Andrade retains. Match was good, but, you know, a little bit uneventful. You know, if you've seen Andrade and Carrillo, you didn't see much of anything different today. But, you know, WWE's been doing this a lot lately, where you have a lot of two counts, and then somebody will grab the tights and get the three count and abruptly leave the ring. That's happened probably about a dozen times in the last 6 months. You know, it's a quick way to end a match without hitting a specific finisher. And, you know, where does this leave Caio?
I don't know. I just know that Andrade needs a quality opponent to defend that title at a major, one of the big four pay-per-views coming up. And I don't know who that person is. I have no, they have 4 weeks to come up. Tomorrow night, they should come up with it, right, DT? Someone should come out, maybe challenge tomorrow night out of the blue. Who's it going to be?
Well, I know a lot of people think, you know, it might be a four-way, a five-way at Mania. I actually wouldn't have too much of a problem with that. If it was Rey and Garza and Caio and Andrade and maybe one or two other people, I mean, they don't do the Money in the Bank thing anymore because it's a pay-per-view. You know, you're not going to do it. Maybe you do a ladder match. You know, I know a lot of people were saying ladder versus mask or something like that with Rey Mysterio versus Andrade one-on-one. But you know what? I think maybe you put five or six guys in the match with Andrade. I honestly, nothing against Andrade, but I'm really not interested in seeing him having a one-on-one at Mania.
I agree with you there. Not yet. I think eventually they have to turn him babyface and let Garza be that heel who goes with Zelina and have him fight for her, or being betrayed by Zelina, her picking Garza over him.
Yeah.
Something like that. So the fans can connect to this guy because he's still not connecting.
I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people were saying Rey versus Andrade, mask versus title. I don't care if it's mask versus life. I just don't want to see Andrade in a one-on-one match.
Life is on the line.
Yeah. I mean, you know, seriously, the cartel is outside. It could be a cartel match. Whoever gets assassinated by the cartel. I just am not interested in seeing Andrade having a one-on-one match, even if it was against Garza. Dude. I actually, you know what? If it was him versus Garza, maybe, but you know what? I'd rather see it be a five-way or a six-way, and Garza and Andrade, you know, up until Mania, you know, we watch each other's back. And meanwhile, Garza, you know, is kind of like that Eddie Guerrero, you know, like swerve when he's looking the other way.
Sneaky,
And then Garza goes into business for himself, and maybe he gets the win.
That's a good one. I like that. That angle.
So next, we had the Elimination Chamber match for the tag titles. Again, you know, I don't think it was any surprise of Miz and Morrison retaining. You know, if people saw SmackDown, you know, now that storyline with Otis as Mandy is going in a little different direction. People remember on Valentine's Day when I said, oh, he got the text message that she was going to be late. You know, and they didn't happen until now. So I'm still going with my original thought that it was Mother Tucker that swerved Otis because, you know, he did it for the bet for his own good and Mandy's not for him, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, leading into this match, I know a lot of people out there were thinking, hey, Rude and Ziggler should win the belts today. So then they could face Heavy Machinery at Mania. And then Heavy Machinery could win the titles. And, oh, and he even gets the girl, and everybody goes home happy. I don't even think WWE is that you know, feel good, you know, to do something like that. I personally think Miz, and I've said this even before Morrison and Miz reformed as a tag team, Miz and Morrison will put the bad mouth on Heavy Machinery so freaking bad, make fun of them that no way that Ziggler and Rude can do. You know what I mean? So yeah. Miz and Morrison retaining seemed like the only logical way to go. The thing is that during the night tonight, once or twice early on, we saw that little video effect on the Titantron. And, you know, look, I said it the first time it came out. That's Ali's signal with the lights, the round lights and all that. I was saying tonight, you know, I would love it. Since Ali last year was supposed to be Elimination Chamber but couldn't because of injury, Kofi took his spot, and then Kofi, you know, created magic, and he went on to Mania, you know? Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, if you just think of it like that, like Ali could show up tonight, maybe cost Kofi the match tonight, and maybe this sets up a feud, Ali versus Kofi. But, you know, I guess, you know, if you look at Ali's social media account, it's too positive for him to be a heel. You know what I mean? I don't think they would make him a heel.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? So, you know, we had the New Day versus Miz and Morrison versus Heavy Machinery versus Lucha House Party versus Ziggler and Rude. Lucha House Party, you know, they tried. They worked. Everybody worked their ass off. But again, you know, you had that one moment where, was it Lince Dorado that did that dive off the top rope, the top of the chamber?
It was him, right? Not the other dude.
It was Grand Metalik that did that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, one of the Lucha House Party, I mean, did a beautiful. It was almost, it reminded me of Brock Lesnar when he used to do his, you know, his moonsault or whatever it was. But, again, you know, they showed the replay, and instead of me watching him take the dive off the top, it was Lince Dorado. Thank you, Quadruple B. Instead of, you know, them showing the replay and I'm looking at Dorado, I'm looking at the guys in the ring, and they're once again holding their arms up, you know, at the last, ready to catch him. And I understand that's how you protect people, and I've talked about that even when I had people dive on me doing the indie stuff with the managing. But, you know, it's just when you see them all gathering and they're holding each other and they're looking up and they're looking up and they're looking up, and then he does his thing and then they lift their arms up and catch him. It's just a little too choreographed for me. It was an awesome spot, but way too choreographed for me. Me, I would probably pop more if they all just dived out of the way and just let him go splat like a bad cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, the match itself, it wasn't too bad. Again, the crowd wasn't that into it, though. I mean, they were into Otis, and then when Otis went flying through the door, he's been laying out at ringside the last couple of nights. Friday night, same thing happened to him. You know, he was knocked out by the on the side there, and then Tucker got pinned, obviously, tonight. So you're right, DT. I think Tucker might be behind this. After the loss tonight, maybe they get a win at WrestleMania, Tucker turns. But I'd be surprised if they're going to break them up so quick unless they feel that they can capitalize on Otis right now. Like, don't stretch this out. Don't let him be in the tag team. Solo this guy as soon as possible. But then poor Tucky, what's going to happen to him?
The spot with Otis diving through the chamber, going through the plexiglass, I mean, it sounded good. It looked good. Why he would be unconscious from just going through plexiglass, I don't know. But, you know, for people out there, let me explain something. You know, when people were talking about, oh, my God, all these years and nobody ever dove through the plexiglass. Well, let me just say two things. Number one, Dean Ambrose, you know, knows Moxley. There was one time he went through half of the plexiglass, but almost went through the other one, but didn't. And I did some research, you know, because this paper kind of sucked today. So I was trying to get some research together as well, and I did pull it. 2016, there was no Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. But if you look at the origins of the Elimination Chamber, which is, what, 15 years old or something like that?
Yeah, a little less.
Up until 2017, there was always steel chain behind each pod. The chain was wrapped around the entire chamber. So this is only the third or fourth elimination chamber where the back of the pod is also plexiglass. And the reason why they did that is because you can, it's better visual. You could get cameras back there. And, you know, I guess if they ever decided to do a spot where somebody could go through, you know, the entire chamber. But up until 2017, there was always chain around the entire chamber. That's why, you know, Goldberg, I mean, if we remember his spears and everything with the chamber, you would have thought that maybe back then we would have saw something, but it was impossible. There was chain wrapped around the entire chamber. But it was a great spot. The only thing that I didn't like about the match, and again, you know, we're trying our hardest to give you a decent recap. I can't believe we're doing 40 minutes already, so we're going to wrap this up soon, very soon. But the one thing I did not like is when they were teasing that Otis is finally going to get his hands on Ziggler. Ziggler's teasing him in the pod, this, this, and that, and blah, 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 blah. And go back and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Otis finally has the opportunity to get his hands on Ziggler. And what does he do? He picks up Ziggler, and he does almost like the stun gun, where he just drops Ziggler like head first on the top rope. And he's just standing there, oh, yeah! And it's like, come on, motherfucker. You know, like in suspension of disbelief, you finally got your hands on a guy that took the love of your life. Beat the living shit out of him. Pounce, pounce, kick, kick, punch, punch, punch. Instead, he picks him up. He drops him. He, oh, yeah. The only thing I'm telling you, go back and watch that. It was, what a fucking letdown. It's almost like, you know, imagine Jamie Lee Curtis. I know, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is I actually watched it a couple of nights ago. Imagine Jamie Lee Curtis, after all of these decades, finally gets her hands on Michael Myers, and then she's about to get revenge, and he's got nowhere to go, and he's in a corner, and he's handcuffed, this and that. And instead of just beheading him, blowing his brains out, taking a machete and just shooting him 100,000 times, she picks him up and drops him on the head of the top of a chair and looks and goes, oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oof. It was brutal. It was brutal, man. Nobody in that match, I mean, other than the Mexicans doing the high spots and everything, and you knew Kofi was gonna do some stuff and everybody worked hard. But, you know, I think the problem is when you have elimination chamber matches, it either has to be 4 stars, or it's going to have big-time participants in it, or people are let down. Unless somebody goes unbelievable. And again, that is very, very rare to see. You know, Sarah Logan could have jumped off the top of the roof through the elimination chamber and, you know, like Mick Foley and dented the mat. And, you know, maybe you would have got a holy shit chant for about 30 seconds. And then after that, it's like boring. Boring, but you know, Miz and Morrison retain. The last team to be in with them is the Usos. That was one of the questions in the predictions contest today. Match went 32 minutes. It was not bad, but you know, it was what it was. I mean, I never thought that Miz and Morrison were going to be losing these belts tonight. They just won it. And if they do go that route where they feud with Heavy Machinery, I think Miz and Morrison could hurt the could hurt the feelings of fans through Otis more than Roode and Ziggler could do.
I think so.
You know?
I think that, again, it was, like you said, DT, the problem is not having, even back in the day of War Games in the NWA, they had, you know, J.J. Dillon or Paul Ellering might be in the War Games, and they would go after each other. But there were big players in there, Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes, Lex Luger, guys like Sting. Here, it was both in the Elimination Chamber matches tonight. It was really a bunch of undercard people, like, who aren't even over to any degree, and them expecting what? To get a big move in tonight, and it would put, they'd be on the highlight reel, and Michael Cole and Corey Graves will put it over, and everyone will stop, and it'll be on WWE, and oh, look what Liv did tonight, or look what, you know, the this guy did tonight. Again, I think you have to be over to some degree for anybody to care. You're right. There was, and we'll get to Sarah Logan.
It's funny.
Nothing anybody could have did in that group to get over tonight any more than they are.
You know, it's funny. Right now, I'm showing pictures on the screen. I was so indifferent about, you know, this pay-per-view tonight. I had pictures ready to put up and everything, and it's just like, I didn't even remember to do all that. But AJ Styles versus Aleister Black. You know,
looks good on paper. Looks great on paper.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to talk about it today. I'll talk about it maybe a little tomorrow, maybe a little on Wednesday. But I went to the big event convention yesterday, and it was great.
Yeah, I didn't even know you were going. Yeah, I saw the pictures.
But Undertaker was there. And, you know, the buzz yesterday was Undertaker is going to appear at Elimination Chamber because he was already in New York for the big event. So it kind of made sense that he would show up, especially if he's going to have this match with AJ Styles. I know a lot of people out there, we talked about it last week, possibly the OC versus Taker and Black or Taker, Black and Kane. You can't trust websites right now because it's all wishful thinking. You see them reporting this weekend, match change. It hasn't fucking been announced yet, match change. No, you got your guess wrong. That's what changed. So right now, you know, the storyline is AJ Styles and Undertaker. You know, so until they announce anything else, you have to go with that idea that it's going to be AJ Styles and Undertaker. And not for nothing, Undertaker looked great yesterday. He looked great in the ring. Physically, he's in awesome shape. But even when he hit the chokeslam to AJ Styles, you know, it didn't look all that spectacular. And not for nothing, what killed this match for me is no DQ. Now, why do I say that? It needed to be no DQ for The Undertaker. That's the only reason why it was no DQ. But what ruined this match for me is you have Gallows and Anderson beating the shit out of Aleister Black on Raw without hesitation when it's not a no DQ. But now you have a no DQ, which means anything goes. And for 10 fucking minutes, they're standing at ringside like valets. In just suspension of disbelief, storyline purposes, I don't let my buddy AJ Styles get one knee to the face. It's just god-awful. What's up, Zachary Turner? I'll talk to him about doing something. We'll see. You know, we'll see about doing something with Jason. You got to understand something. Jason has his own shows live. And, you know, he does a wonderful job. So, you know, it's going to be kind of difficult to say, hey, Jason, don't do a live show tonight. Instead, join us. He'll be like, yeah, you're nuts. But I appreciate that. But the thing is, getting back to the match, watching Gallows and Anderson watch Styles getting beat up from Aleister Black was ridiculously stupid. Because it was no DQ. Suspension of disbelief. They should have been causing agita to Aleister Black from second one in the match. But instead, they're just like standing there like valets. Like they were crazy glued to the floor. Only at the end, when they started interfering, did the match get good. And it's a shame because AJ Styles and Aleister Black worked very hard. I mean, they used kendo sticks, used the table. My God, when Aleister Black did the high knee to AJ Styles through the table, you know, it looked like his knees hit the freaking floor and that shit looked like it hurt, man. They worked their asses off. But the story of no DQ and watching Gallows and Anderson stand there like goofs, I hate to say it, was just really hard to digest. You do it for a minute or two. You know, they should have done something where they were incapacitated for a little while, and that's why, you know, they couldn't do anything. But to see them just standing there and watching and this and that, it ruined the match for me. It really did.
Yeah, I wasn't that big on this match. I mean, again, on paper, it looks good. These two match up really well. The match wasn't bad, but I figured it was something. It was a precursor to get Undertaker involved. Excuse me. I was expecting to see Undertaker. We did very, very briefly with a weak choke slam, and then he was gone. But I believe, and not even going by websites, I believe just in my head as a fan, I'm just calling it from myself. I could be wrong, could be right. You don't want a prize either way. Taker in black, 2-on-3 against the OC. That's just what I think it's going to be. Helps elevate black and look like Taker very rarely teams up with guys like this, and he's teaming up with black. Helps make black look like more of a top guy.
I would love to see black get a rub from Taker in some way. I mean, not for nothing, man. AJ Styles don't need a rub from Taker and vice versa. Is it a fantasy match? I don't know if it's a fantasy match at this point. First time ever, you know, it's look, first time ever is great. I mean, in almost anything that you do, you know. But the thing is that having someone else involved in the match, it's kind of like what I said last year when I felt that Charlotte needed to be added in the Ronda Rousey-Becky Lynch match. If anything goes wrong with Rousey, you have Charlotte picking up the ball, and she could go at it with Becky Lynch, and you know those two have a great chemistry. Same thing with Styles and Black. I wanted to see Undertaker also chokeslam Aleister Black today or hit the last ride or something. You know, even because Aleister Black wants a fight. You know, let him get it from Taker too. This way, it's a three-way. And if anything goes wrong with Taker, you got Black and AJ Styles who have awesome chemistry together. I guess you could still do that if you add other people to the match. The OC aren't doing anything yet for Mania. But, you know, look, it was nice to see Taker. You hear the pop that he gets. Crowd loves it. But he now is spectacle. It's not match quality. It's spectacle. And do you really want to see Undertaker and AJ Styles one-on-one where Undertaker, it feels more spectacle than substance? And, you know, sorry, man. I look at his match with Goldberg, and yes, there were other circumstances. You can't blame either one. But I also think of Roman Reigns and some of the other matches, the DX, him and Kane. And, you know, realize these matches that I'm talking about didn't just happen couple of months ago. We're now into years. So just add those extra years. As great as Undertaker may feel emotionally, mentally, and maybe even for a couple of seconds, unfortunately, Father Time, Mother Nature, you know, your clock is ticking. And I just don't think Undertaker, no matter how great physically he looks, and sure, he could hit those multiple punches in the corner. And I think I said this like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe even longer than that. Undertaker is best when he doesn't have to leave his feet at all. When it's just strictly ground game and he doesn't have to lift anybody up, right? He looks fine. He's in the corner throwing the punch. He looks great. Throwing the kicks, he looks great. The minute he leaves his feet, he doesn't have that spring like he used to. And it's just what happens when you get older. No matter how good he feels, that little bit of difference in his spring, you know, even with the chokeslam, I mean, it can't be all arms and AJ Styles. You need your legs to push yourself off. Anybody out there that's ever hit moves on your little brothers or sisters, you know, and you land a chokeslam or something, like, you know about pushing up, your weight pushing up builds that momentum, you know? Your grandmothers, you know?
Well, it's true. And also, DT, let's also take into account that he is 6'10".
Yeah.
And he's 54 years old and, you know, Kevin Nash has talked about it. Look at Kevin Nash's knees and his legs and stuff. And he was just on TV the other day, has talked about it. He's lucky he can walk. So he's like, it's because it's the weight, the flux of the weight up and down for these giant guys. You know, they've been heavy at some point in their career. Then they lost weight. Then they changed their diet, got into a new thing. But the knees are always kind of the first to go on the big men. Kevin Nash has talked about it a lot. For guys 6'9", 6'10", your knees always go. You have one, you're lucky you don't have double knee replacement surgery as a giant guy who's taking bumps on his knees. Taker is, like I said, 54 years old. So, you know, he can do with smoke and mirrors at this point, no pun intended. It's limited what he can do. They can protect him and have Black, if it's a tag team, do all the bumping and flipping over the rope and flying around. That's what's supposed to happen with a veteran and a young guy.
I just don't want to see AJ Styles lose to Taker because of 2 or 3 moves. And I don't want to see Undertaker get embarrassed by AJ Styles, not intentionally, but AJ Styles is still on another level. And the thing is AJ Styles has to really slow down his offense to go with Undertaker. And to me, it's a recipe for a very, 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 very fast match. And almost, you know what I mean? It's just, and I don't know how that'll come up. Look, for casual fans, if Undertaker wins, you know, everybody will enjoy it as long as it doesn't embarrass. But I think of both outcomes, and I don't know if I want either one.
Yeah.
So, next, we had a match that, unfortunately, the crowd was not into at all. Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy versus the Street Profits. And as we said on Monday, there was two ways they could go with this. Either Murphy and Rollins could get those belts back very, very quickly, or we could end up with a little bit of Kevin Owens interference, and this will set up Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins at Mania with some type of stipulation. That's what we said on Monday. And that's pretty much what we had. I mean, you know, the match was fine. Everybody worked hard. You know, you kind of expected the AOP to come out, but Viking Raiders negated that. And then Kevin Owens comes out, popcorn, you know, he gets involved in the match. And as a result, the Street Profits retain. And now tomorrow we will see the storyline shift with Rollins and Owens. The big question is, what's going to happen with Buddy Murphy?
Not sure. I don't know if they're going to add another person to this ministry of doctors or whatever the fuck they call Rollins' crew. You know, I'm wondering, you know, but you talk about fantasy bookings, DT. I'm sure you've probably seen some people talking about that's what they should do with Ricochet. You know, Ricochet's so lost right now that he should go over to the Seth Rollins side and rejuvenate him. That's not bad. Maybe it can happen. Not a bad thing. Maybe trade Murphy in for Ricochet. But I think it's too early to kick anybody out of the ministry yet, even though, you know, it's only a couple months old. So Buddy Murphy is yet to even get over enough to get out. If he's out of there, he'd be doomed. So hopefully, you know, I don't know. I just have this feeling, though, tomorrow night Rollins might do some sort of beat down on Buddy Murphy for losing these matches recently, blaming him. But again, you know, kick somebody out so early, you know, I just don't know. Or maybe add somebody to this ministry. I just, you know, I was saying, remember when Seth Rollins was a top guy? Now he's just kind of
he's still a top guy. You know, it's just like what I said about Roman Reigns 9 months ago. I said, he's still main event of Mania. They're keeping his seat warm. Same with Seth Rollins. He is the top guy on Raw. It's just he's not in a top main event world title feud right now. He is still the guy on Raw.
Well, you think he's going to put, you think he's going to get over on Owens?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't even, they haven't even announced it yet. Once they announce what it is, then I'll start thinking about it.
I know. But how ridiculous is that? 4 weeks, we don't even know half the fucking
cards. See, this is the thing again. When you talk about things happening simply for certain things, it feels like the only reason why they put Buddy Murphy and Rollins together as a tag champ was not really to reward Buddy Murphy, but to make it more important when Kevin Owens causes Seth Rollins to lose his title and he causes Seth Rollins to not regain his title. So it's like, okay, we'll put a belt on Rollins. We can't put the heavyweight title on him right now. We can't put the secondary title on him. We're not going to put the 24/7 title on him. So we'll put the tag title on him. This way, Kevin Owens could cause him to lose it, and then Kevin Owens becomes such a thorn in Rollins' side that Rollins can't even regain it, and that'll lead to a match to Mania. But who are we going to give, you know, if it's a tag title, who's going to team with him? You know, oh, okay, we'll put him with Murphy. That's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, originally I thought Buddy Murphy got rewarded for his incredible work feuding with Aleister Black. Now it feels like he was put with Rollins simply to help build Rollins versus Owens. Because where does this leave Buddy Murphy now? Does it feel like his stature is elevated at all? I don't think so.
No, I think he's in jeopardy. But that's the weird thing. He's only been with this crew for a couple of months. I just have a feeling he's going to get like a dressing down tomorrow from Seth Rollins. I just have this feeling. Rollins is going to threaten him that if you lose one more match, you're out or something like that. I just have a feeling something's going to go down tomorrow with Buddy Murphy.
First off, shout out to John Krauser. What's up, my friend? Second of all, Benjamin, I love you, brother. He says, oh, it's so obvious, DT. It was so obvious. Nobody brought it up until now. I never brought it up before either. I think at that time we thought, hey, they're finally elevating Buddy Murphy. You see, Paul Heyman has given other people a shot. Drew McIntyre, Buddy Murphy, this and that. Now, when you look at it, it's like, what does he have? You know? And when we get to the next match, I think we can kind of segue into this. Tonight, we have Braun Strowman, who was also at the big event yesterday. I did not see him yesterday. He defended the championship against Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. And we're thinking to ourselves, okay, IC title, Braun Strowman. You know, after that Nicholas debacle, it's cool to see him with a singles title. Going into Mania, you know, just on a great momentum. Hey, maybe he'll fight Daniel Bryan at Mania for the IC title or something like that. And then we're also thinking, you know, Nakamura recently got staples in his head, so maybe he really can't do much. So the idea is, you know, we'll make it a 3-on-1 handicap to take the focus off of Nakamura since he's still got, you know, staples in his head or stitches, whatever he's got right now. And we're thinking, okay, you know, it'll be clusterfuck, maybe a faux pas here and there. And Braun Strowman, I could picture it in the middle of the ring. And he's got Nakamura and Zayn and Cesaro all laying on top of each other, and he pins all three. Tonight, we get the first ever singles title on the main roster for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, who is pretty much running away from Braun Strowman, might be the right way to put it. He pins Braun Strowman and is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Didn't see that coming at all, DT. And I didn't see anybody call that.
Some people in the predictions contest actually predicted Sami Zayn. I got to give them credit because I did not see this coming.
Yeah, I didn't see. But just I'm talking more of the podcasters that we roll with here. I don't know why, because let's face it, DT, Sami Zayn's been a modern-day Johnny Polo. He's a wrestler like Scotty Levy was, then came in as a manager for 2 years, then became Raven and went on to be successful singles wrestler again. Sami Zayn just out of the blue, just like, oh, yeah, that's right. He is a wrestler. It's almost we were reminded tonight. He's not just a mouthpiece. He's not Johnny Polo. He acts like it. Good talker. But who would think that this guy's going to have a major championship? This isn't, the Eastern Heritage title. This is a major title. It's not a world championship. But, again, I didn't see this coming, and I don't know what happens now, and is this an endorsement of Sammy or a slight against Braun Strowman?
What is this? Yeah. If I wanna anything that I really will say, I really enjoyed from this pay per view tonight. I enjoyed the fact that Sami Zayn finally has a fucking singles title on the main roster. By the way, there's a ton of you listening live right now. I would love it more than anything. If you like so far what you're hearing, hit the like button. Because apparently it gives a little more exposure and this and that. So, you know, you're listening live, just hit the like button right now. I want to see everybody do it. But getting back to Sami Zayn, it's cool to see him win it. It sucks that it's got to be under goofy circumstances, 3-on-1, kind of a comedy type fodder. And it almost feels like this is, I can almost see on SmackDown where Nakamura and Cesaro are kind of like jealous that Sami Zayn's the champion, or maybe there's a little bit of a falling out, the impromptu falling out because Sami stole the victory of this and that. And that may lead to Nakamura and Cesaro and maybe Strowman and maybe this person and maybe that person, and they're all going to fight for the IC championship at WrestleMania. That's what it feels like right now. I'm happy for Sami Zayn, but it kind of feels like the only reason why they gave him the belt was to have a little bit of dissension within those three, where they kind of like are at opposite ends. And, you know, remember, there's no general manager on SmackDown. There's no general manager on Raw as far as on-air character goes. So the wrestlers have to challenge each other now. So Nakamura is not going to do it because he doesn't speak English on TV.
Right.
So Cesaro is going to maybe challenge Sami Zayn, and then Nakamura, and, you know, be able to say one, two sentences, you know, me too, I challenge you. You know, so that's where it feels like it's going.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I'm not, I don't use father in sentences all that much, but I see a lot of comedic fodder. Now, father is not the guy who impregnated your mom that you've never met before. And father, it's like, it's just going to, you're going to see antics. You're going to see, you know, arguments and skits. And then you're going to have the Acme Insta feud where suddenly it's a three-way and a four-way and a five-way and a six-way. That's what it feels like at Mania. It does not feel that Sami Zayn was rewarded. Because just think about it. It was only a couple of weeks ago that Nakamura was the champion. If you're going to do the friendly feud thing, why couldn't they do it with just Nakamura? Probably because if everybody starts challenging him for the title, what is he going to say? You know, he's going to talk like Asuka. He'll just say, I accept. You know, so I think that's why they put it on Zayn. I'm telling you, I feel antics coming. And, you know, it's cool to see Sami Zayn with a singles title, but I don't know, you know, really why they put it on it. But what does that say for Braun Strowman? You know?
I mean, I don't know. His stock has dropped, dude. I don't know. You know, I think this is the highest belt he was going to get. I don't think Braun's ever going to be world champion. I don't know why they took it off him right before Mania. Again, is that an endorsement of Sami Zayn or an unendorsement, if that's a word, of Braun Strowman? I don't know. I don't know what happened tonight. I'm going to be looking tomorrow to see if anybody has any scoops, you know, whether they're legit or not. We can decide for ourselves. Yeah. But I'm curious of why that was made, that decision was made. And was it made hastily? Was this the plan all along for Sami to get the belt? Or was this shotgun booking tonight and say, you know what, Zayn's going to get the belt? Like something in the back. I'm curious of why they went to this because I can't figure out what's the upside and where does Braun go from here. Except, like you said, DT, unless they're looking to break up that crew. And again, what is going on that these crews don't stay together that long? There's dissension.
The roster's weeks. Too thin.
Is that what it is? I mean, you know, they don't let these guys play out at all, like the Horsemen and DX. And they're together 1, 2, 3 years, sometimes 2 years, before even dissension even comes into play, tag teams. But it seems like a couple of weeks. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if Murphy got kicked out of the ministry tomorrow night and they replace him with somebody else. It's like shotgun booking. I don't get it. I think the Sami should stay with Nakamura. I think they make a good duo, unless they're going to turn Nakamura babyface again. That's a possibility, too.
I think the roster is so thin. By the way, for anybody that is watching this, there might have been a tiny little glitch for a second or two. You didn't miss anything. But I'll say this. This is another example of the roster being so thin because you look at the opponents. Suddenly there's going to be dissension simply because who are they going to put? I would love to see Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan go one-on-one at Mania. I think that would be an awesome match, but that's just not interesting enough and there's not enough time. So you could picture it already. Little bit of dissension amongst the three of them. Braun Strowman's got his rematch clause and this is an ad. And then they announce four-way at Mania. It's so lazy. And by the way, this is totally unrelated to tonight. I'm going to mention it on Monday also. But I'll say this. Last week when we were talking about Cena and Wyatt and how it was so rushed and this and that, and I brought up Hogan and Andre with Piper's Pit and, you know, will you challenge? Yes! People corrected me that only went for 1 week. And I went back and I looked at all my TV results and you are 100% right. I think for us as kids at the time, because things were replayed for weeks and weeks at a time, that it was a week apart. but with replays, it felt 2 and 3 weeks apart. But even with that, this isn't Cena and Wyatt wasn't even a week apart. This was one day. So with Zayn is the champion, SmackDown, you'll probably find out whose opponents are going to be on SmackDown. There's probably going to be, you know, that this dissension, and that's how they come up with a match. I just, again, I don't know why they took it off of Nakamura a couple of weeks ago. I could see if his head got split open like a, you know, like a coconut, and then they said, oh, you know, let's take the title off him for a little while he recovers. But, you know, that was after he lost the belt. Yeah. So, but anyway, we got Sami Zayn as a champion, which is cool, but, you know, hopefully it's just not for comedic purposes. Then we got this.
Main event.
Yeah, we opened up talking about it. There's really not much we can add to it. I will say this, and look, I am a big Shayna Baszler fan. I have said it for a long time. She's no nonsense. She's not charismatic. She's a tough son of a bitch. You saw her in NXT. She is what she is. No changes. Problem is that you're taking like vinegar and you're trying to mix like water with it. You're taking Becky Lynch, who could eat her up and spit her out in promos. And I'm not saying that Becky Lynch is so freaking polished in promos, but compared to Shayna Baszler, Becky Lynch is like CM Punk, Ric Flair, and The Rock all rolled into one. You know, when Shayna Baszler feuded with people in NXT, you had some women who could cut promos, but not on the level of not only Becky Lynch, but a big WWE universe that is behind Becky Lynch as well. You know, it's a big difference when you have a woman in NXT that is over with the NXT crowd in Full Sail University, and then you got the WWE universe in the main roster and tens of millions of fans backing Becky Lynch. So Shayna Baszler, you know, the whole story tonight was once Shayna Baszler came out there and her pot opened up, she just destroyed everybody. And what was so horrible about it is it's not like the Royal Rumble where there's only 90 seconds or 2 minutes where you beat someone up for 10, 20 seconds and then you throw them over the top rope and you might have maybe 30 seconds left and 10 of it is a countdown. Tonight, I don't know if it's 5 minutes that between pods, but she was beating people within 20, 30 seconds, and it was like 3 minutes, 4 minutes of just standing there. And the worst part was with Asuka at the end. There was no other... She was the last person to come out. The minute Shayna Baszler eliminated and there's no one else in the ring, open the fucking pod. Yeah. This was painful. I mean, the only thing good about it was she eliminated someone so early, you realize, oh, I got 3 minutes to take a shit. I got to go 2 minutes. I could make myself some coffee. You know, I could go inside and beat off for a minute. I could go mid day. Like, you knew you had X amount of minutes to kill because all she was going to do is just walk around in the ring and the crowd was going to shit on it. But it just... It fell flat. And again, I don't know if WWE tried to do the Goldberg effect. Oh, it'll be so bad that it'll get Shayna even more over it. How could the crowd cheer Shayna Baszler after this? The match is so awful. And she's torn. It's just, it wasn't Shayna Baszler's fault. This was horrible, horrible writing. And again, I'm not going to go off the Paul Heyman bandwagon for all the decades that he entertained me. You know, not everything that we all do is always on point, no matter what we do. But again, you know, it's weird how if it's Russo, fire him. If it's this person, fire them. If it's this person, fire them. But when it comes to Paul Heyman, oh, it's a series of writers. And no, Vince has the last say. You know, I don't know whose idea it was for this today. But again, this entire pay-per-view was designed with the sole purpose of solidifying a women's main event match that we already knew what it was going to be. It wasn't going to be Asuka and Becky Lynch, although it would have been excellent. You knew that wasn't going that route. They're still tag champs, for God's sake. It wasn't going to be Ruby Riott or Liv Morgan or Sarah Logan or Natty, you know, Neidhart.
So, they were just cannon fodder. That's all they were.
It was bad. I feel bad for the women to an extent. You know, I know, you know, we all got to understand something. Every single person listening, every single person watching, you know, we are on the outside looking in. Everybody in that company, everybody in AEW for the most part, you know, not everybody, but a majority of people in the two companies, they're in this. They're in a bubble. And, you know, for them, it's my time. It's my opportunity. I deserve this. And as a, you know, no, you deserve nothing. You might have worked hard. You may be talented. You may feel that you deserve that spot. But when everybody is booing you or being totally indifferent about it, and when attendance keeps going down and this and that, and people, their entrance music should be the telltale sign if someone deserves it or not. When you could hear the music so crystal clear that if you recorded and played it in your car, somebody would be like, hey, I didn't know that person's song came out on iTunes yet. No, that's just the entrance from the... Anybody that used to collect theme songs, you know what I'm talking about. When a live theme song sounds CD quality with no crowd noise, that's not good. When a crowd does not cheer you, does not boo you, and is just standing there, that should tell WWE right away, it's my time, it's women's month, it's men's month, it's black month, it's white month, it's gay month, it's dog month, it's, you know, single month, it's, you know, jilted at the altar month, it's widow month, it's widower month. No, it's, I'm over as a heel, I'm over as a baby face. I have people buying my merchandise. You know, you can't base it on tweets and followers and stuff like that because everybody out. My God, if Doink the fucking Clown came back from the grave and retweeted somebody out there, could come back and retweet a five-year-old. And you know what happened? It'll be the wallpaper on that kid's Twitter. My God, he retweeted me.
Oh, my God, everyone, to Matt Bourne, you've always been my favorite wrestler of all time.
No, seriously, you can't, it's just, oh, my God, you know, this person's got 300,000 followers. Well, how come none of them, did they forget how to clap when they come out? It's just almost nobody in that match, other than Asuka, Natty, a little bit.
Smatterings, DT.
Riot's wide, nothing against him. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, not main event. For me. That, and again, maybe one day I feel different. You know, and for anybody who gets really upset at that, trust me, there were, back in the day, and I've talked about this before, I remember going to Madison Square Garden and seeing Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle in two different dark matches get booed out of the building before they made it. Not everybody, you don't become a main event because you've been there 5 years or because you haven't gotten a shot at this and that, especially the last pay-per-view going into WrestleMania.
Not a good look either. And DT, we've said this for the longest time. What's the worst thing a wrestler can get? Indifference.
Indifference.
Like you said, no, indifference is the biggest enemy to a wrestler. No claps, no boos, no nothing. And that's the worst thing. And that's what you're saying, DT. Heyman's like, uh-oh. Shayna Baszler's got some serious indifference out there. That's not good. It's not good.
No. Anyway, Baszler wins. Becky Lynch in the back, nodding with smiles. You know, it is what it is. Again, you know, if we had no idea that Shayna Baszler was going to face her, and maybe if Shayna Baszler was on the main roster, maybe for another month, and maybe if Shayna Baszler didn't fucking gnaw on Becky's neck and then Becky steals an ambulance, you know, no, doctor's not good enough. I got to steal the ambulance too. It's just that extra little things, it turns people off, man.
It does.
I mean, the littlest thing, as ridiculous as it sounds, the littlest thing could turn somebody off. I'm with my girl. Trust me, if I'm, you know, getting busy with her and all of a sudden I hear, I mean, you know, it's like, that's it. It's over. The phone rings, it's over. You know, if I'm down there and, you know, if anybody's ever had this happen, you're down there and you go, you accidentally burp. She's like, stop. I'm just, stop. There's little things. Becky stealing that ambulance and then the stupid nurse going like this on the back of the ambulance. Like, yeah, go ahead, go. You can steal it. That's not even like, you know, like kayfabe news. Like, even if they tried to satire live PD, it wouldn't even be good. It's just, I don't like it. And, you know, I'm a little bit fearing about Raw tomorrow because now it's official. Shayna versus Becky. Becky's going to come out there with those promos. And what is Shayna going to do? Use the S word again?
Jesus Christ. Something's got to give. Where are they tomorrow? Does anybody know where they are and what arena tomorrow?
No idea.
Philly tonight. I don't know where they are tomorrow, but they better hope for a hot crowd. But after coming off of this pay-per-view, I don't know if people are going to go in there with a bad attitude, TT. I think people are going to go in there with a bad attitude. They better wow them tomorrow night. It's going to be an interesting recap tomorrow night. Let's see what happens.
But
as far as this pay-per-view tonight goes, DT, I would barely give it a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, me? No, scale of 1 to 10, I give it, I'm being generous giving it a 4. Daniel Bryan and Gulak was great.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah,
you know, I'll give it a 5 because Gulak and Bryan was great. Andrade and Humberto was excellent, but it just I wasn't feeling it. Sami Zayn winning the title was good. I'm a little bit nervous of what's going to follow because of that. It just feels like a lot of comedy. Father. I'm the godfather.
Modern father.
But other than that, you know, AJ Styles, again, you know, I like the match, but when you see Gallows and Anderson in an ODQ match just standing there, it's just like, come on, man. I want suspension of disbelief. You know, if you're going to say it's no DQ, the matches were not bad. See, that's the only reason why I would give it a 5. There really wasn't any bad matches other than the women's main event. It's not that it was bad because we've had people dominate before, especially at Royal Rumbles. But unfortunately, this did not flow well. And tomorrow they're going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Capital One Arena. Thank you, Zakaru, for that.
Yep.
So what was your favorite match today and what was your least favorite?
Daniel Bryan and Gulak was the best match. Enjoyable. Like seeing Daniel Bryan try and help a brother out, and they match up pretty good. Him and Gulak, maybe Gulak could be something down the road. He's got the personality. So I like the purpose of that match. Worst match, main event, and just cringing watching Shayna Baszler pace around the ring with indifference from the crowd, where normally if she was over, the crowd would be into it. If that was an Austin or Rock type, or even to a degree of CM Punk or someone who was really over, the crowd would be itching and waiting for that thing. Even if it was 2 minutes on the clock, they'd just be counting down because the wrestler's getting them entertained and the wrestler's connecting. But Shayna Baszler has no connection to anybody, and you can't count the NXT faithful in Full Sail. It doesn't count in the major arena. Sorry. So again, as she walked around, I was cringing watching, oh my God, DT, like 2 minutes. I was even saying, what are they going to do here? Why don't they open the pods? And Liv Morgan is yelling, it's my time. It's my time. I'm like, oh my God. It was just cringe, a way to go off the air. Last pay-per-view before the biggest one of the year. Again, they're lucky they get a 5 from me. Worst pay-per-view in the last 10 years outside of Gulak and Bryan. Could have just washed this whole thing, flushed it down the toilet bowl. No purpose tonight.
One side of me says that maybe they should have hit Becky Lynch's music at the very end and maybe have a little confrontation. Or
I thought that might happen. That's why I wasn't going on. I was waiting to even click over to go live. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen.
The crowd was in such a bad mood. I don't know if that would have been smart. But
they might have booed her. Yeah, they might have booed her.
I will say favorite match. I would have chosen Aleister Black and AJ Styles if it wasn't for Gallows and Anderson just standing there for so long. in a no DQ match. Again, a no DQ match. Understand that. You know, it too long to just stand there and just, it just looks so stupid in a no DQ match to house the block to land any offense from AJ Styles. And then just standing there, just watching it. I could see if AJ Styles had said something earlier, like, look, you know, don't interfere. You know, I know you can interfere, but you know, I want to embarrass this guy to sit down. You know, something stupid like that, you know, but I would have gave it that match, but I'll say my favorite match was Daniel Bryan and Gulak because from beginning to end, it was solid. Least favorite match, women's main event, you know.
We're in agreement.
It's no other way to put it, but with that said, we're done. I can't believe we went this long for this, but hey, you know, we gave it its due, and everybody definitely let me know, you know, what you thought about it. And, you know, I thank the 20% of you that hit the like button, you know, asked for so much, you know. But on your way out, maybe you can do that, you know. Not asking for much. It doesn't even cost anything. Hit the like button before you go.
Yeah, everybody but, hit the like button. Thank you, DT.
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow for the DTKC show.
Yes, going to go watch the Florida Championship Wrestling doc on WWE Network now. Talk about that, I guess, maybe tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, peace, all right, everybody.
Later. Thanks. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this recap. And, oh, boy, it was rough, man. Rough. I tell you, I know a lot of you out there were holding out hope that we would have, you know, kind of sleepers during the match. I mean, some of the wrestlers, you know, are excellent in the ring, but man, when it was bad, it was horrible. So anyway, let me know what you think. And thank you as always for the support. And please, you know, let everybody know, you know, yours truly on YouTube now. Having a ball, by the way. And definitely send your feedback. Always appreciated, always looked at. And I am out of here. So I will catch you all again Monday night with your next installment of the DTKC show. Take care, everybody. Be well. And I will catch you all soon. Ciao.
Oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus. And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night?
Don O'Mite, you can have fun. You really are.